So I will give you a cartoon version of the program or the context in which this set of questions arises. So tomorrow, roughly, is going to be the discussion of foundational issues in complex WKB and resurgence, to which it leads, and some discussion, some solutions, some answers. And Saturday's talk will be a talk about so our contribution to the question of existence of resurgence solutions. And so this will be sort of a different topic of itself. So let me proceed with the plan. So the original motivation for this line of research is the questions about Foucault category. And once again, so there are probably people in this audience who can teach me about this, who know this better than I do. So bear with me and don't try to be too scared about what I'm gonna say. So Foucault category cartoon version. So we started with the symplectic manifold. There are additional assumptions, let me skip them. And so objects of the Foucault category are Lagrangian submanifold. L. So morphisms between two such L1 and L2 are given by intersection points. So if this is L1, this is L2, P, then P would be the morphism. And so this would be, under appropriate transversality conditions, P in intersection of L1 and L2 of some coefficient ring. Let me just say C for now, but it's not C, it's some maybe other coefficient rings. Coefficients times the intersection points. And composition of the morphisms are, let me draw a picture. Again, very cartoonish version. P1, so if this is L1, L2, L3, so composition between P1, 2, and P2, 3, it should be obvious from the picture what it is. So this is should be roughly P1, 3. So P1, 2 composed with P2, 3 is equal to, in this picture, to P1, 3, but with a coefficient. And P1, 3 e to the minus area of the triangle divided by h. Before I go on further, let me explain you what this area is. So one should think of the following picture. So one considers pseudo-holomorphic curves. That means one takes a disk in a complex plane, just unit disk. And one maps it into the triangle so that this arc gets mapped to, in my case, L1. This arc gets mapped into L1. This arc gets mapped into L2. This arc gets mapped into L3. There are appropriate, quite technical boundary conditions at those points. And the fact that such kind of disk has to satisfy a nonlinear analog of Cauchy-Riemann equation. So the construction of such pseudo-holomorphic disks is a quite highly nonlinear problem. So given such a map, it is possible to pull back the symplectic form on the symplectic manifold and define in this way the area of this pseudo-holomorphic disk. So under appropriate conditions, given such a triangle, given three intersection points, this is not apparent, the problem is not apparent in dimension 1+1, but in high dimension, you can see that there will be a problem. So an appropriate theorem states that under appropriate transversality conditions, there are discretely many such pseudo-holomorphic disks. this area, well, becomes a number. And so at least intuitively, one should think as the composition in such a form. There is an additional complication. Additional complication number one is, first, that's the part that I'm not going to discuss. Of course, there can be more intersection points. So then the composition would be a sum of sum not just over all possible triangles, but over all possible intersection points. Well, you can imagine how the story goes. The other complication is the complication that this is actually a graded ring. How should I say? Maybe like this. And so the intersection point has to be put into the appropriate degree in the sense of grading, like in the algebraic sense. And this degree has something to do with the Morse index. So so if you have in the situation of R2, when this is your complex manifold, this intersection point has, let's say, Morse index 0, but then this intersection point has a Morse index 1, and so these two intersection points have to go into different degrees. Third complication is that this is, well, I said Foucault category, but this is not actually a category. So in particular, this composition of morphisms that should be associative in a category, here it's not associative. It is associative up to homotopy. The difference between associativity and what it really is controllable. And so this forms an A-infinity category. So this is the Foucault category. And as far as I understand, of physical interest, although all these things form such a nice algebraic, complicated but nice algebraic structure, of interest really are those numbers. This is, as far as I understand the motivation, these are the numbers that are actually of physical interest, and everything else are the properties that these numbers satisfy. Okay, so, yes?
So when you have the 3 points, you're looking for this triangle inside.
Yes, sir?
What do you aim at? Do you want to minimize the area of this triangle, or it's not the condition?
Yes, almost yes. So again, as far as I understand the motivation, if you take an action functional, but it has to be some supersymmetric thing with which I'm not very comfortable, and you minimize it in some supersymmetric sense, then yes, this will be the minimal or extremal stationary points of some functional. And the pseudo-holomorphicity condition is equivalent to that stationary action kind of thing.
And what is your point of view? You are looking just for a disk that is satisfies this Cauchy-Riemann equation. That's the only condition you are.
Sure. Yeah. Plus maybe. So this is a cartoon version, but in principle you can think of it. It was a very good point that you are making. So one is that it's Cauchy-Riemann equation with a property analytic condition, but from the point of view of motivation of this motivation, these are the extremal trajectories of a string or something of that sort.
One bit clarification. So can you say anything about the edges of this triangle? It's also unclear what they are.
Experts can. So, there's a boundary condition. There should be some regularity, and this has been and is being seriously studied by the experts in this field. Mm-hmm.
Infinite dimensional Morse.
The project that, at least for my thesis advisor, it was a project that he started in the 80s. And it's a big dream for many people, is to linearize this Foucault category. You see, in order to understand this, what you need to do, at least on the surface, you need to solve a highly nonlinear partial differential equation, which is difficult. And how nice would it be if we just start with something linear, do some linear algebra in some sense, and bah, we get those pseudo-holomorphic disks. So this is a big dream. And so why is this dream something feasible? So in this case, it turns out, and it's the observation from which this whole thing started, much before I grew up to participate in it, so is the following. All the objects, all the ingredients of this theory are the same as appear in microlocal analysis or WKB method. Look, Lagrangian manifolds, right? This is WKB. Intersection points of Lagrangian. Well, at least at some point when we know that if we have the zero section and we have intersection of Lagrangian manifold with the zero section, that's a turning point. Okay, again, something that we know. There is an additional structure here. Maslow index is popping up. Maslow index pops up in WKB method as well. That's why it was invented. Third ingredient that I have suppressed, often these are taken with a bundle and a flat connection on it. Bundle and a flat connection is the transport equation in WKB method. So this is the equation that that is governed by principal and subprincipal symbol, and that governs the not the phase function, but the main coefficient of the WKB expansion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this uses the same data as microlocal analysis. So, and from this observation, there grew several attempts, some beginning attempts, some very successful attempts to understand this in terms of microlocal analysis. So let me review two approaches by other people and my by using the Witten Laplacian. So one of the papers that was for me in the beginning of this topic was the paper of Tsigan and Nest around 2006 maybe. And so the idea is to try to map this picture to microlocal analysis to WKB method. So they were working on modules over the deformation quantization algebra. So deformation quantization algebra, it's constructed for any manifold, but we are talking cartoon versions today, so let us think of it as, first of all, on what? Maybe on R2N symplectic, which I will think of cotangent bundle to just Rn. So this would be functions of on Rn, functions, let's say, of coordinate x. And then we attach to it h dx, the h differential operators with respect to that coordinate. So every time you differentiate, you also multiply by h. Sorry for running over. You attach the formal power series with respect to h. Okay? So there is a little bit, so why is this not quite correct? So I'm writing this approximate sign. There is a little bit the question and the discussion, an issue of allowing infinitely high powers of this differential operator. So this issue is resolved in every particular paper, but not never nicely resolved. So I mean, there is no good linguistic formulation of this as far as I know. But so you have such an algebra. And over this algebra, you can consider modules. So suppose you have a Lagrangian submanifold in T star Rn. And the simplest example of, guys, everything all right? Oh, formal power series in H. Yes, intentionally. Polynomials here. Okay, let me. Polynomials here. Okay. All right, okay. A good example of a Lagrangian submanifold are the graphs of the differentials, right? If you have a function on the base, graph of it. So let me take this to be graph f of x. So based on this, they construct the module. And let me call it M of L. And so essentially, they take this guy. They would take this algebra. And well, they do it on the manifold, but still, well. You hit this guy by all operators from this algebra. And what you get is, and Rn divided by Ah, sorry, R2n. And this is going to be the ideal. So I will write it. You should imagine that there are indices I from 1 to n running, but I'll just write it I minus gradient. Should I write gradient and differential? Okay, it doesn't matter. Gradient of f. So this becomes an ideal, well, it has n generators. And so this is a this is one module. The other module, not all Lagrangian submanifolds are represented in this way. So content of that paper is to working out what happens if not. And then the implied result, not written on the paper, but the outcome of this construction is that when you have ML, M L prime, and you take R home between those two, construct it in this way, with transversality assumptions on the Lagrangian submanifolds, you get the sum of, what do you get? You get CH, so the coefficient tree, times the intersection points, and intersection points are intersection points here. However, unfortunately, they all end up in the same degree, and the degree is plus or minus n. Intersection points of two Lagrangian submanifolds. So I'm just, well, if you want like this. Yeah, intersections of the, you start with two Lagrangian submanifolds and you get a sum of different points. However, unfortunately, they all end up in the same degree and we don't see this guy.
Is it the P minus Napa, right?
Yeah, P minus Napa. What's the key is that?
So if you have, thanks for the question. Yes, my bad. So if you have X is the coordinate on the Rn, P would be the dual coordinate. So this would be the coordinate, P would be the symplectic coordinates on T star Rn.
Oh, so is that function of
X and T? So F of X is a function on the base. So this becomes a ring of functions of the on X on the base. Then it depends on this polynomial. So one can think of it as also as maybe let me write it this way. Maybe it will become a little bit easier. But you should think of it as an element of the ring rather than the differential operator. Yeah, I'll call it P. Thank you very much. Maybe like this. Okay, that's what I meant. So this is non-commutative ring, so there's a little bit of an issue with the idea.
Deformation quantization modules?
Yes. So R form over AH. I don't know how well this theory is developed, in which sense, how legitimate it's really to write R home from the algebraic perspective, but the meaning is this. So, and then shortcoming number one is that they all end up in the same degree. We don't see the Maslow index. Shortcoming number two, we don't see those numbers that would be of physical interest. how am I doing my time? Calculation is very easy. I mean, you know how to given it's just like an intersection theory in algebraic geometry. Given two modules like this in algebraic geometry, you know that that's what should be the intersection. You resolve one of those two-term resolution applied along exact sequence. Get this. So this is approach number one. So approach number two is So these authors in particular, Tsigan, have worked more on trying to bring this approach closer to the Foucault category. There is a work on where Tsigan does it on symplectic torus. And there is always an attempt to enrich the structure of modules over deformation and quantization algebra by something that would see the structure better. So another work is using constructible sheaves. It started with Nadler Zaslav, also 2000, maybe 7, and continued by Tamarkin, all of them at Northwestern. So the idea is that constructible sheaves on a manifold X should correspond to the Foucault category of T star X with appropriate qualifications here. So what's a constructible sheaf? So first of all, how it's related to microlocal analysis, to differential equations in the complex WQB. So if you take a complex manifold, these are real. If you take a complex manifold, a holonomic system of linear differential equations with regular singularities, you look at solutions, then the solutions will form a constructible sheaf. Definition comes in a moment. That is in the complex setting. In the real setting, people imitate the axiomatic properties of those sheaves, although they don't seem to correspond to anything in terms of differential equation. This is a very closely related object. So one particular thing, so if you take one example is if you have an open sub a submanifold. In particular, possibly open set with a local system L, locally constant sheaf, then you can take this sheaf on X. And this is an example of a constructible sheaf. There are some tameness properties here that I'm sweeping under the rug. And then you take the category of all sheaves, you form the cones of those, you do the shifts in the homological degree, and this gives you the category. And so Nadler and Zaslav have shown that one version of Foucault category is equivalent to this category. So I will talk about sheaves maybe on Saturday more, so it will maybe become more apparent why this is relevant, because so far I haven't even explained to you where the Lagrangian comes from. So given a sheaf like that, one can define a thing called singular support of a sheaf. That will be more on this on Saturday, but now for now. So if you have a sheaf, you can consider the directions. So if you have a sheaf and an open set, you can sometimes increase, and you're trying to increase the open set a little bit, and you see if the sections or derived sections of the sheaf change. And if they do, then that direction, or rather co-direction in which you're trying to increase the open set is called the singular direction. And the set of all singular directions form a subset in a cotangent bundle, and that that gives you, under appropriate assumptions, a Lagrangian submanifold. Always involutive, but in particular Lagrangian sometimes. And those Lagrangian submanifolds correspond to objects in the Foucault category. So, Tamarkin has been using the similar. So this is Nadler Zaslav and Tamarkin. And you will see that this is already much more closely related to a WKB. So he was using, instead of sheaves on X, he's looking at sheaves on X cross R. And so if you have a function f of x, one typical object of the in the work of Tamarkin. So if you have a function f of x on x, then you consider if this is x, if this is r, then he considers the set of s greater equal than or greater than f of x, and he considers the constant sheaf here. This is, you see, this is much more reminiscent of what we do in WKB. His work has been much more successful in a sense that I don't know what's the status of that draft now, but I think he is able to reproduce many properties of the Foucault category using this picture. You should ask Boris Tsigan about his thoughts about this, but just as constructible sheaves are related to D modules by Riemann-Hilbert correspondence, there hopefully one day will be a Riemann-Hilbert correspondence between sheaves that Tamarkin uses and modules over deformation quantization. However, that doesn't seem to be immediately here. So my approach was to maybe a third thing, and you'll see the joys and difficulties of this path. So analysis of the Witten-Lotka question. So let me remind you that if you have a manifold, let me take maybe X, compact Riemannian manifold. Suppose f is a Morse function. Then you can, even without Morse you can do it, but you can form the following operator. So first of all, take the Dirac differential. So from k forms, exist of course in every degree, right? K plus one. And so twist it. Namely, so given a form, I need to see the conventions. Yep. Multiply your form by this function. Then take the Dirac. And then multiply it back. Okay. Then use the Riemannian structure to define the following operator. This is the twisted Laplacian. This should be reminiscent of the Hodge theory. So this is, first of all, I take df. Then using the Riemannian structure, I can take df star, just like in Hodge theory, except with an extra df star df. Okay. You know that in Hodge theory, the similar Laplacian, so without f, it computes for, so the zeros, the zero forms of that Laplacian harmonic forms compute you the cohomology classes. With this Laplacian computes you in almost the same way the critical points of the function f. And so the relationship between this Laplacian and the usual Laplacian is the same as between cohomologies and critical points, so and Morse theory. Okay, because I'm going to, so today let's make it a positive number. Small positive number. And then if you want to do what I'm going to talk about precise when it comes to citing the results, every time you should say how small, and there is a way to say how small. I would like to maybe write down the specific form of this. One thing that maybe I want to do is doesn't bother anybody, right? An extra age. Just to make the formulas nice and so minus h squared this allows to write in this form plus h this is Lie derivative with respect to the gradient of f. This is Hodge star Lie derivative Hodge star back. So it turns out that this is a zeroth order differential operator. So spectrum. Spectrum of this operator. So let us specialize to a very particular case where x is one dimensional. And another thing, and let me take k equal to zero. So I will be acting not on the forms, but just on the functions. So then this thing takes the following form. So d0f takes the form minus h squared dx squared plus f prime squared minus h f double. So let's look what the spectrum has to be. So you see, just forget this one. You forget this one for a moment. This is the most important term in the study, but let's discuss it in a second. So this is a Schrodinger equation, right? It is a multi-well, so it has several potential wells. This is the potential. It is always positive. And the zeros of the potential correspond, or the minimum of the potential zeros, correspond to the places where f prime is zero, which are the critical points. Okay? So, and then I can just draw it like this. Now, what does that term do? So if f double prime is positive, right? That means local minimum of f. This lowers the energy by something of order h. If it is negative, so it lifts it a little bit. So and so the picture you see. So if the f prime is depending on the sign of f double prime, I will not be able to keep track of signs. So depending on the sign of f double prime, this is either a little bit higher or a little bit lower, right? A little bit higher or a little bit lower, right? By something of order h, right? So if you remember the spectrum of the harmonic oscillator in one dimension, the spectrum of harmonic oscillator starts with coefficients times h over 2, then 3h over 2, etc. So the fact that this lowers the overall energy, I guess. It makes what would usually be the ground state of the harmonic oscillator here, it lowers just enough to put it near zero. Okay, and here the lowest eigenstate living in this potential well will be something like of order h. So if I write down e for the energy eigenvalue of this operator, then I will see the following picture. So first of all, there will be zero eigenvalues here in every one of those potential wells. So zero. So there will be several of those potential wells, as many as the critical points of the correct Morse index. In this case, as many as there are critical points, in this case of local minima. So every one of them will give me, would have give, if taken in an isolated way, every one of them would have given me the eigenvalue zero. However, there are several of them. And so on physical grounds, or on the grounds of what we know from exact WKB, we can conclude that there will be several of those eigenvalues of the order minus constant divided by h. So one of them will be zero, and there will be a few more near zero. And then there will be a gap of order h, and then the other eigenvalues will start. So we have a clear separation, distance h, between the ground state and what's called low eigenvalues. low-lying eigenvalues, and the rest. And as I try to motivate you, the number of those is going to be exactly the number of critical points of this Morse index. Sorry, I haven't yet defined Morse index, of the local minimum. So this happens for Laplace operator of order zero, so on, acting on functions. Now, if you look at the similar situation, but you look, keep x one-dimensional, and now look at the within Laplacian acting on one-forms. One-forms and one-dimensional manifolds are just the same thing as functions up to this dx. But however, what changes is, in this case, d1 of x is going to be minus ih squared, the same thing exactly, plus h f double prime. So this minus changes to this plus. And so what this operator was doing for local minima of the function f, this operator will be doing for local maxima. So it will be counting, it will have as many low-lying eigenvalues, eigenstates, as in this case, as the number of local maxima of the function. This generalizes to the whole to arbitrary dimensions. So the statement is the following. The number of low-lying eigenstates, or rather, the number of low-lying eigenstates of DKF is equal to the number of critical points of F with Morse index, which is, in this case, I should say, the number of pluses, of positive pluses in the diagonal decomposition of Hessian F at the critical point with Morse index K. So what is the, so you have a critical point of Morse index K. You take the corresponding law, you take the Witten Laplacian on K forms. And that will give you, for every critical point of this Morse index, it will give you a K form. That is almost an eigenvalue of the function, almost an eigenfunction of, sorry, an eigenfunction of, with low-lying eigenvalue of the Witten Laplacian. Okay? So, example. So if you take, in particular, if you take your function to be, so pluses and minuses is never is something that, however much I try, I'm never able to do correctly. So bear with me and accept this to be true in spirit. So if you take this function, so zero is its eigenvalue, then I think the form, and so then you take L forms, right? So this would be, L forms would be, yeah, so with basis d x I 1 d x I L. And then because here all the variables separate, they will also separate once once you write your operate in that form. And essentially, so this term, these terms will remain the same, but this will be a sum of the various terms in the direction of various coordinate axes. And then you will see that So the operator L at this point of this function f is going to be this minus h squared d d L on the Laplacian on the forms plus the gradient of this function, which is easy, which is just a harmonic oscillator squared. And here you will have, I think I should just write it as a matrix, more or less. But so here you will see that you will have minus, you will have plus nh. N is the total dimension. And so you will have, no, h. And then you will have minus n corresponding to minus n term will be on the diagonal corresponding to dx1. Sorry, I shouldn't have raised the indices. I1, IL, IIL here. dx1 to dxL. You will have on the diagonal, you will have minus n. And all other diagonal entries will be something greater than minus n. That means that this is for this particular component, you will have the situation like here that allows an eigenvalue corresponding to, you will have an eigenfunction corresponding to eigenvalue zero. So this lowering of the potential happens exactly for the form and exactly for one form out of however many you have in the degree L. And this form, which one can be read off of the potential? So the same picture, but with separation, essentially same picture happens there for pretty much the same algebraic reason. And this is a little bit miraculous.
A form which is of this type near critical point and goes to zero.
You are directing me to my next planned item. So let us look what the, so here we will have several different eigenfunctions. And so let's look what, let's look at them a little bit closer. So one of them, there will be at least one with zero. In at least in one dimensional case, there will be at least one with zero. And so that one, that is the true eigen, state, the true ground state is quite easy to write by looking at this form. So the one, zero will correspond to the following thing, I minus f of x divided by h. So the zero eigen state is obvious. So now, from the intuitive picture of quantum tunneling, we understand that so the other ones will look like, will look roughly this way. So blue chalk. So this is, so I will have an eigenfunction that is concentrated near the potential well. And what means concentrated? It decays like a Gaussian packet, right? It decays like a Gaussian packet with so distance, so this is going to behave E minus, let me call it X zero, X minus X zero squared divided by H times maybe some coefficient, right? So then as we expect, it will do something, but it will be exponentially small elsewhere. And we know that it, for example, in the next potential well, it will again be a Gaussian packet, maybe with a different phase, like complex function, complex phase or something, but it will be again something that is concentrated near that potential well or, and behave like a Gaussian packet. So in other words, we will have, let's say we have several of those potential wells, and we have exactly the same number of functions that behave like bumps at the different wells. Although I don't think it has been written out and it has been completely analyzed rigorously, but it is quite intuitive to realize that, well, to understand that we can, by taking linear combinations, we can form linear combinations that behave just of those various eigenfunctions. corresponding to slightly different eigenvalues. We can form those linear combinations that will behave like bumps at every one of those wells. In other words, I can take this well, play around with those eigenfunctions, and create a combination that behaves like a Gaussian packet near that and behaves almost like zero around the others. I don't think it has been rigorously done though. Okay, so let us assume that picture. And now, finally, what does it all have to do with Fukaya, his disks, and things like that? Okay, so let me state the following, which appears as a conjecture in Fukaya's late 90s paper, Multivariate Morse Theory. The conjecture in its simplest form states the following. So suppose you have a manifold M, and suppose you have three Morse function, three functions. I will not assume that they are Morse, but I will assume that Fi minus Fj are Morse. Then we can look at the graphs. Oh, maybe bad idea to draw it this way. Eraser, no eraser. Okay, so that's above me. All right, good, thanks. So we're gonna look, this is M. This is going to be T star of, X maybe. Well, M doesn't matter. T star of M, cotangent bundle. I look at those three functions. Using three functions, I can form three Lagrangian submanifolds. So Lj is going to be graph dfj, so L1, L2, L3. So what does it mean two such Lagrangian submanifolds intersect? It means that the intersection point projects to a critical point of which function? In this case, of a function, I'll call it x12. No, let p12 this way. And let me just write the projection pi. And sorry for cumbersome notation. It's going to be pi of p12. And I'll do the same thing here. Pi p13 pi p23. Okay. The fact that it intersection of the graphs of the differentials means that this point is a critical point of which function? In this case, f1 minus f2. Critical. f1 minus f2. This is a critical point of f2 minus f3. This is a critical point f2 minus f3. Okay? So we are here studying. So now let us form the Witten-Laplacians. Like before, but now because we are studying critical points of this function for the functions fi minus fj, just like I did before, but for the difference of the functions. So depending on the Morse index of this intersection, depending on the signature of this critical point, if that signature is equal to k, then there will be an eigenfunction of this Laplacian. Eigenform of degree k that is like a bump that has a bell-shaped form, Gaussian bell, around this point. So this will be I don't know. Is it clear, or should I write it a little bit more formally? Who wants me to write it a little bit more formally? Okay, nobody. Good. all right, so I will have a form like this, and I will denote this form as, let's say, U112. Okay, this is a form whose degree depends on the Morse index of this intersection. So I'm going to do the same thing at the other intersection points. I will get again forms U13, U23. Thank you for the question. So what is this? So these are not really eigenforms. So look, here we have low lying, but still different eigenvalues. So the formal way of phrasing it would be, I take those low lying eigenvalues. I take the eigenspaces corresponding to them, add them up. So the linear combination there will not be an eigenfunction. It will be a combination of linear. So this and this spaces generated by low-lying eigenvalues are usually denoted by, so all of them form a space W for Witten, K for the index of the form, and F for the function. Okay? So I take the linear combinations that sit there. Huh? So as I try to motivate you, at least intuitively, so every one of those eigenfunctions corresponding to this eigenvalues is a bump at every one of those critical points of the correct Morse index. So do some sort of linear combination that eliminates all bumps by one. There is a vagueness here, and I don't yet know how to eliminate this vagueness, but well, something of that sort.
Are you assuming all those 3 points are the same Morse index?
No, no. Depending on the intersection point, the difference F1 minus F3 might have any signature that you want.
So your points will be of different
degrees. They will be of different degrees, yes. However, conjecture says that the following. Let us look at the following correlator. So the correlator maybe is too fancy a word. Let me take, these are forms, right? I can take their wedge product. And this everything happens on the Riemannian manifold. I can also do this and take an L2 product of those. Because there is some arbitrariness, let me divide it by, right? Because this is nothing deep. This is just to get rid of arbitrariness. Conjecture. Okay. Well, what is it going to be? Well, it is at least so. Foucault is a little bit more careful about what he says, but I will state the conjecture the way I understand it, and maybe it's a little bit more brave, but nevertheless. So there will be some coefficient times boring numerical coefficient. Well, not boring, rather untransparent numerical coefficient. And these areas are supposed to be the areas of pseudo-holomorphic disks here. And this is, just a second. So let me point out a few things here. First of all, by way of a complete disclosure, Foucault states it in dimension one. For higher dimensions, he's careful. So this thing might not be exactly the areas. It might be some other object, some other quantity related to the area. Nevertheless, once I was giving a talk and a physicist got angry why you spend time on this, it's obvious. So I take it as a good endorsement. So what's good thing, however, for every one of those holomorphic disks, there should be one term. Well, except for some degenerate situations. And one more vagueness. I told you that I told you something about linear combination. You can eliminate bumps around other critical points in many different ways. So there is a vagueness there, so one should understand that perhaps one can do what I told you before in such a way that. Okay? And now, first of all, if this is true, if this is one day will be proven, see what's on the right-hand side. It is something nonlinear, highly nonlinear, right? On the bottom-hand side. On the top-hand side, how do I get those? I solve some linear differential equation, take a correlator, get a number that solves something nonlinear. So This addresses the dream. If it can be done, it addresses the dream. Now to your question. When I saw this, I started thinking how to do it. And this is how Resurgent or Complex WQB was forced on me by the problem. Right, left-hand side, so the way we know how to solve differential equations is by WQB method. So you expand everything in power series of H and work, so this should give you the left-hand side. The right-hand side, however, is something else. The right-hand side contains those coefficients times e to the power stuff of H. And this is clearly something from the complex WQB. Okay. So now post factum, I know that those coefficients, they should be number plus something O over H. Jevray expansions. I will talk a little bit more. It's a little bit more subtle. So, and now, well, very good. So I still have 5 minutes, so maybe I'll take your, just maybe I was going to explain you a little bit more about higher dimensional Witten Laplacians, but let's just talk, make it in the form of remarks. So this picture, I stated in the first unknown situation, which is the triangle. So the simpler situation, which is a digon. So if you have just two Lagrangian submanifolds, this is known. This is solved by and rigorously solved by Helfer-Sjöstrand. So and the statement is, I hope I can state it quickly without. So if you have one, if you have two intersections, you have this this point and that point. You have here. Let me be a little bit sloppy with the notation. I want to give you the flavor, but maybe not the precise formula to save time. So what you can look at as du1 correlated with in the L2 sense with u2, and then well divide by everything, and then this is going to be something like f1 u1 minus this is going to be the area of this digon divided by h times the coefficient so times number plus O divided by H. This has been done in arbitrary dimension. And the reason why it can be done in arbitrary dimension is that Witten-Laplacian is a very special Schrodinger operator. OK, maybe not talk about this anymore. So why cannot I just, once again, why cannot I just take the methods of Helfer-Sjöstrand that use C infinity analysis? So they study this operator where H is not a formal parameter, it's a number. They work with analytic estimates. Sometimes they have to do partition of unity. Sometimes they have to approximate their potential by a harmonic oscillator. All those techniques, however, are bad because when you, so you know from, oh, I think already everybody in this room knows enough of complex WQB to realize that if you take, for example, this potential, and no, rather, you take this potential and you approximate it by very much closely related this potential, approximates but double well potential by a single well potential, then what you lose the lower order exponential corrections. And losing lower order exponential corrections, in this case, you lose a geometric object. So using C infinity methods based on partition of unities, this kind of approximation will lose us the geometric information. Plus, we know that this kind of expressions, they are essentially complex analytic, right? So they come from a complex saddle point expansion, which cannot be done in C infinity context. And by C infinity methods, you will get just the dominant part of such an expansion. And maybe it's a good point to stop and next time, I will try to explain how I got in this kind of research and why not further and why not further so far and what are the interesting challenges and fun parts of execution of this project. Okay.
questions. Why do you have the D in one of the points here?
So it is symmetric when a closed manifold we can move. Simple answer. And if you want, if you want higher order operations, the formulas get scarier. They involve, they also involve one additional ingredient, which is a Green's function for the Witten Laplacian. So formulas get bigger. They are written down. I don't quite understand the motivation, but it's kind of a separate formula for every number. Here I took three Lagrangian submanifolds, and I took a correlator of the three forms. You can form various correlators with more forms. And they conjecturally correspond to, again, to some areas of, again, some pseudo-holomorphic disks, but with more sides. But there is no simple pattern. You see, this is not, doesn't look like that. So pattern is complicated.
With respect to that conjecture, like left-hand side or upper-hand side is vanishes unless degrees of these forms
yes.
add up. To,
yes, sir.
To correct.
Unless this makes no sense. Well, if it makes no sense, it's supposed to be zero.
Yeah. So do you have a simple argument to show that there are no pseudo-holomorphic triangles in this case?
So the so the situation that I'm going to be discussing next time is very simple. So the situation is if you have if your base is one dimensional, then the whole thing is two dimensional. That and then the area will be just the usual area. And so, in case when we like next time I will be working really in one plus one dimension. Their existence of pseudo-holomorphic curves and their areas is just is very, very simple. However, calculating those correlators, as I will explain next time, still lead me to some foundational questions in resurgent analysis. So in that case, calculating this is still, I cannot reliably do this yet.
But I mean, if you pick a very simple condition, and if that condition violates your pairing just vanish. So you wouldn't expect to, you would expect to have no holomorphic triangles at all.
So I think your question is very simple, but I haven't looked at it. But I think it's very, very simple. So it really boils down to some drawing some curvilinear triangles in on a board and just seeing why not. It should be a 1 hour exercise.
So you discussed the case where the Lagrangians have a generating function, like with this DFS. So in the general case, you'll have some positives, right? Because
so for general case, so first of all, higher dimension is so difficult. Well, when we both retire, we can work on it together. So one dimension. So what I know is how to, so if the Lagrangian is not of the form DF, it can there can be two sort of complications. Complication number one is that it's going to be a differential of a multi-valued function, in which case we end up, instead of Helfer-Schuster, we end up in Shubin, who investigated these things. And then the spectrum of the Witten Laplacian is going to be not a discrete set of eigenvalues, but it's not continuous, it's not absolutely, what's the word? Absolutely discontinuous, right, like fractal. So analyzing this by complex WQB method is another wonderful challenge, which I don't think anybody has ever discussed yet. So how to work with complex WQB when your spectrum is not a discrete set of eigenvalues. Now the next, once we are done with that, and I believe one should proceed exactly in this order, one can ask, so what about Lagrangian submanifolds that don't map to the base one-to-one, but like this one? There is a way to write down an operator that seems like a Witten Laplacian. Just a simple formula, but it seems to be, to me, it seems like a correct imitation. You will get a higher order differential operator. So of order, well, 4, 6, et cetera. And then one would have to use more complicated theory of higher order differential operators, like Aoki, Kawai, Takei, Honda, who have studied how to study those things. And then it's possible to address. However, for specific reasons, which I don't have time to discuss, one should first do the absolutely discontinuous spectrum and then try to do that. So once I'm done with that, I should go to discontinuous.
All right, let's thanks, Alexander.